الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، begin this evening reading from the treatise that has been summarized by Sheikh Umar ibn Muslih al-Husayni حفظه الله تعالى، the treatise of al-Imam Al-Ajurri rahimahullahu ta'ala, which is entitled Faradu Talib al-Ilm, the obligation of seeking knowledge. So the treatise that we are studying and reading from is Mukhtasar Farad Talib al-Ilm, the abridgment of the obligation of seeking knowledge, meaning the summarization and the abridgment of that original work by al-Imam Al-Ajurri rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we have here the first chapter has been translated and printed here for the brothers and the sisters to follow along. And it's translated line by line. So the Arabic is there, and then after that is the translation, and then another statement or portion of the original text is typed in Arabic, and then after that the translation. So it's encouraged for everyone to have a print to read along, and we have prints available for everyone, and anyone who got a print yesterday, the print has been updated, and the prints that we have now and that which is available on the channel, this is a rough draft, and it is not something that is made for sharing and spreading on the internet publicly, but rather for personal use. And inshallah, soon, whenever the translation is complete and the editing is finalized, then it will be made available for spreading publicly as one likes freely. But for now, it's all for personal use, for following along in class. So with that being said, we're going to read from this text here, that which is typed and printed, and read along with that the translation. And if anyone notices a mistake in the Arabic or in the English, then we should take note of that in order to fix that and to rectify that for the final portion. And once we finish this chapter, we move on to the next chapter in the same manner, and we can work together bi-ibnillahi ta'ala to make a beneficial translation of this work. And inshallah, possibly after that, a beneficial explanation. So our methodology, barakallahu fikum, will be in this manner. But I need, along with that, one or two brothers or more, whoever feels up to it, to read from the original text that has also been made available. So they'll be making the muqabala. They'll be making the checking so that they can verify that we did not leave anything out in the Arabic. Because I typed this up with my hand, typing on the computer, typing the Arabic and then translating. So no doubt there are mistakes. Even the print I made yesterday, I reviewed it today and found many mistakes. So whoever had received a print yesterday of the first chapter, he should exchange it for the one that we have today. He should exchange it for the one that we have today. And one of the noble brothers, may Allah reward him, has made it available. It's free. Alhamdulillah, it's a gift. You don't have to answer any questions. You just have to show up. Barakallah fiq. Huh? The sisters ask Sheikh Jamal. Yeah, if you can, please. So, Abdurrahman, you going to read the original Arabic? Abu Yasser, you going to read from the original text, and I'll read from this text. And if there's something missing, then you let us know, inshallah. Inshallah. So the methodology is going to be like this in this particular studies now. We're going to first read the chapter. Bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we're going to first read the chapter and the translation of the chapter, and just have a brief summarized, simplified understanding of the intent of the author from writing the chapter. So it's going to be very brief. We'll read it in Arabic and read the translation in English and just make sure that this is understood. And then after this text in brief is read, and we comprehend the general benefit from that. And after that, we will go back and study it in detail. So the plan, inshallah, may Allah grant us success tonight, is just to read the text, in the translation, and to discuss in general the issues, to understand what is intended by what the author he has mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. And tomorrow we'll go back and study in detail the benefits that are derived from the people of knowledge with regards to these narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise some of the points and the issues that the author rahimahullah ta'ala he's referring to are actually great topics and masail azima in this issue of seeking knowledge. So there are many benefits to mention with regards to this, so we'll take it in this manner. First, read it and study it in a general aspect, and then after that, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in a more detailed and beneficial aspect after that. Also, barakallahu fikum for those students who are learning the Arabic language and striving, and they're on their way in this path. There is great opportunity to benefit, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And for this reason, I had made this translation line by line instead of translating a whole text by itself. Rather, I placed the Arabic there and then split it up so where that the Arabic will be only a short portion and then the translation will come briefly after that. Instead of having a large paragraph and then a large translation, rather I tried to make the portion small so that the students who are learning the Arabic language can try to benefit and can try to read the Arabic and then quickly understand and realize and comprehend the intent and learn the vocabulary and the likes like this. So also we see that no doubt the Arabic language, those who are able to read, they read without harakat. They read without harakat. And this is how the texts are, alhamdulillah. And this is a level that a student of knowledge, he will strive to reach in his studies of the Arabic language, that he will have the ability to read any text without harakat. Rather, he will prefer to read without harakat and to pronounce the I'rab by himself and read properly. And many times the harakat that are found in the books, they're confusing and there are many mistakes. And it's much better and easier to read without them for those who have learned. So the students, those who are learning, they're encouraged to write the harakat on the words that they're not familiar with. The words that they know, then they can leave them. And the words that they don't know, they should write the harakat there. That way they have it and they can learn that word and how to pronounce it. And also they can write the harakat of the I'rab. Maybe they do not know whether the word ends with a dhamma or a fatha or kasra or sukun, so on and so forth. So those words that the student, he's not familiar with, as we're reading along, he can write in his print that he has in his hand in this manner, and then review and go back and try to study and benefit, gathering between the issue of studying the issues of knowledge and also advancing and understanding the Arabic language. And also advancing and understanding the Arabic language. The people of knowledge, they say, Usfuraini bihajr. Usfuraini bihajr. What does that mean? Usfuraini bihajr in English. Killing two birds with one stone. Killing two birds with one stone. Anyone of a person, he takes advantage of his time and has great effort and he obtains many objectives at one time. Many objectives at one time. And we say, Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. We ask Allah to put his blessing in our efforts and in our gatherings. So we have Mukhtasar Fardhi Talib al-Ilm, a summarization of the obligation of seeking knowledge. So we begin again. He says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi a'la sha'na al-ilm, wa rafa'a ahlahu darajat, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyihi Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa ba'du. All praise and thanks belong to Allah, who has elevated the status of knowledge and raised its people high in lofty ranks. And may prayers and peace be upon his Prophet Muhammad, his family and companions, as to what follows. فَإِنَّ مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ إِرَادَةِ اللَّهِ بِعَبْدِهِ خَيْرًا أَنْ يُفَقِّهَهُ فِي الدِّينِ فَعَنْ مُعَاوِيَةَ إِبْنِ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Verily, from the signs that Allah intends good for a person, is that he will grant him understanding in the religion. It has been narrated by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, whoever Allah wants good for, he will grant him understanding in the religion. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمَ قَدْ عَلِمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ قَدْ تَعَبَّدَهُ بِعِبَادَاتٍ أَوْجَبَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتَخَرَّبَ بِهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ كَمَا أَمَرَهُ بِهَا لَا كَمَا يُرِيدُ هُوَ. And this is that a Muslim knows that Allah has called him to obedience in performing actions of worship that he has made obligatory upon him, in hopes to draw near to Allah by way of them. And this must be in the manner he, meaning Allah, has ordered to be performed, not as he likes himself. Not as he likes himself. So here with regards to this first page, we see that the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioning that Allah, he has elevated and raised the status of knowledge and likewise raised the people of knowledge high and lofty ranks. And this is in reference to the statement of Allah azza wa jal, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ, that Allah, he raises those who believe amongst you and those who have been given knowledge levels and ranks. Levels and ranks. And then after that, sending the salah and the salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions altogether. And then he's mentioning, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that from the sign that Allah intends good for a person is that he will grant him understanding in the religion. So this is the sign that Allah, he wants good for someone. If Allah, he intends good for somebody in this life and the hereafter, he will bestow upon him a good and proper understanding of his deen, the correct understanding of Islam, which is coupled with the implementation of that. These details will come, inshallah. These details will come, inshallah. And he mentioned the narration of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiyallahu anhuma, which is muttafaqun alayhi in al-Bukhari and Muslim. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddeen, that whomsoever Allah wants good for, he will grant him understanding in the religion. Whomsoever Allah wants good for, he will grant him understanding in the religion. So the author, ذكر مسألة ودليلها, ذكر مسألة ودليلها. This is the methodology of Ahl Sunnah in teaching and cultivating the people upon knowledge. The author, he mentioned the issue, and he mentioned right after that it's evidence and proof. And like this, our religion is founded and based. It's based upon masail with dalail. Masail with dalail, issues in the religion, affairs in the deen, topics and discussions that are coupled with their evidence and coupled with the proof in this manner. So then after this, the author, he mentions what this means. What does it mean that if Allah, he intends good for a person, that he'll grant him understanding in the religion? He says that is that a Muslim, he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered him to obey him. Allah has called the people to obey him and to surrender to him in obedience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed obligations upon mankind and has promised those who perform those obligations properly that they will be a means to draw near to Allah and gain his pleasure. That they'll be a means to draw near to Allah and gain his pleasure. So therefore, he must understand these obligations and how to perform them in order to have the pleasure of Allah, in order to have the mercy of Allah, in order to perform them in the manner that Allah has legislated and ordered, not in the manner according to his own desires, not in the manner according to his own desires. So therefore, if Allah, he wants good for someone, he will guide him and grant him knowledge of the means to draw near to him in the manner that is pleasing to Allah. The means to draw near to him in the manner that is pleasing to Allah by clarifying for that person and guiding him to understand the obligations. Guiding him to understand the obligations, which are obligations of obedience and their actions of worship. That the one who learns how to perform them properly as Allah has legislated, then it will be a means to draw near to Allah and have his pleasure. But he's making a point here that one, he must perform them as Allah has ordered, not as a person likes himself. And this is a problem that we have today, that many people, they're striving from the Muslims to perform the obligations, but they perform them as they like. And they perform them according to their desires, or to their whims, or to their customs, or to their cultures. And they're not striving hard to learn how to perform them in the manner Allah has legislated. And this is the obligation, and this is the sign that Allah wants good for someone, that he will strive to learn those obligations and how to perform them in the manner pleasing to Allah, not in the manner according to his soul or his desires or his whims or the customs of his people and forefathers. So after this, the author, he says, فَطَلَبُهُ لِلْعِلْمِ لِيَفْقَهَ مَا تَعَبَّدَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِهِ فَطَلَبَ عِلْمَ مَا تَصِحُ بِهِ عَقِيدَتُهُ وَعِبَادَتُهُ وَمُعَامَلَاتُهُ فَعَبَدَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ وَفِقْهٍ وَعِلْمٍ. So he will seek knowledge to gain an understanding on how to perform what Allah has ordered him. Therefore, he will seek knowledge of that which will be a means to correct his creed, his actions of worship, transactions and dealings. This is so that one can worship Allah upon insight, based upon understanding and knowledge. Based upon understanding and knowledge. This is the sign that Allah, he wants good for someone. First, the person he knows, a Muslim, he knows that Allah has called him to obedience and placed obligations upon him, and clarified and sent guidance on how to perform those obligations. And therefore, he will seek knowledge to have an understanding how to perform these obligations that Allah has ordered in the manner that Allah has ordered. So he will begin seeking the knowledge of creed and belief to rectify his aqidah. And then likewise, after that, the actions of worship, beginning with that which is obligatory. And likewise, transactions and dealings. And we'll see as well, in every aspect of his life, that which he hopes to get involved in, he will seek knowledge with regards to that in order to be upon clarity and to perform it in a manner pleasing to Allah, and to be safe from falling into that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from creed, statement, action, and deed. So the author, he says, فَهَذَا مِمَّنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ الْكَرِيمُ بِهِ خَيْرًا إِذْ لَمْ يَتْرُكُهُ فِي الْجَهْلِ. So this is the one whom Allah, the Most Noble, has intended good for, since he did not leave him in ignorance. Since he did not leave him in ignorance. So Allah, he wanted good for this person by clarifying for him and guiding him to understand that there are obligations he must perform, and that there's a proper manner to perform them, and guiding him to be interested and concerned to strive to learn those obligations and how to perform them. And then to begin in that effort of learning and seeking knowledge with that which takes priority. With that which takes priority. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla did not leave this person in ignorance to follow his desires and whims, or to fend for himself, or to try to figure out the obligations on his own, or to follow his desires and to do whatever he likes. Rather, Allah guided him away from ignorance to this knowledge. Away from ignorance to this knowledge. So therefore, this is the sign that Allah, he wants good for a person. And this is the description of the person whom Allah wants good for. Understand the narration now? This is what the author, he's referring to. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, Rahimahullahu ta'ala. Something missing? Hafayambagi. Where is it at? فَيَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Something got erased. أحسنته. فَيَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ عَقِلَ عَنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَلَّا يَشْغَالَهُ. صح؟ فَيَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ عَقَلَ عَنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَلَّا يَشْغَالَهُ شَيْءٌ عَنْ طَالَبِ الْفِقْهِ فِي جَمِيعِ سَعِيهِ بِأَمْرِ دِينِهِ وَأَمْرِ آخِرَتِهِ بِأَمْرِ دِينِهِ وَأَمْرِ آخِرَتِهِ وَإِلَّا فَسَدَ عَلَيْهِ فَيَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. There it is right there, huh? It got put backwards. فَيَنْبَغِي, that goes right there. فَيَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ عَقَلَ عَنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَلَّا يَشْغَلَهُ شَيْءٌ عَنْ طَلَبِ الْفِقْهِ فِي جَمِيعِ سَعِيهِ بِأَمْرِ دِينِهِ وَأَمْرِ آخِرَتِهِ وَإِلَّا فَسَدَ عَلَيْهِ جَمِيعُ أُمُورِهِ وَكَانَ غَيْرَ مَعْذُورٍ بِجَهْلِ عِبَادَتِهِ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Naam. So he says, so therefore it is incumbent for every Muslim who is conscious of Allah. So therefore it is incumbent for every Muslim who is conscious of Allah that nothing should preoccupy him from seeking an understanding of all of the issues he is involved in, for the sake of his religion and his hereafter. Because if not, then all of his affairs will become corrupted, and he will not be excused for his ignorance about the worship of Allah. فطلب العلم فرض على المسلم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب العلم فريضة فريضة على كل مسلم. He says, so seeking knowledge is an obligation upon a Muslim. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. It's an obligation upon every Muslim. So here the author رحمه ta'ala, he's mentioning, now we see that it is incumbent for every Muslim who is conscious of Allah and he is aware of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that he is his Lord, and he is conscious of Allah, that he's returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's going to be held accountable. That nothing should preoccupy him from seeking an understanding and all of the issues he is involved in. In everything he's involved in his life, nothing should preoccupy him. And this is for the sake of his religion and his hereafter. And a person, whatever he is going to be involved in, he must seek knowledge of that affair in order to perform it properly and correctly, or else he's going to expose himself and his religion and his hereafter to many dangers and to many violations and to many illnesses. He's going to expose himself to the anger of Allah, and he's going to expose his self likewise to the fire in the hereafter if he were to traverse in this life in the affairs that he's involved in without knowledge. So he should strive. Nothing should preoccupy a Muslim from learning his religion and that which is incumbent upon him and that which is allowed for him in all of the affairs of his life in order to protect his religion and to protect his hereafter. Because if he were to not do this, then all the affairs in his life will become corrupted. The person who's moving through his life upon ignorance, he will not be able to do that which is proper. He will many times try to do something good and wind up doing something wrong. He will try to achieve the good and he will do something haram or foul. He'll try to bring about benefit and he's only going to harm himself. He's going to try to worship Allah and he may fall into shirk. He's going to try to establish the prayer and he may perform it in a manner that is forbidden or not allowed or not accepted, all because of ignorance. If he's going to try to get money, or he hopes to get married, or he's going to do some type of contracts or business. If he does not have knowledge in these affairs, many times he will advance upon that in a manner that is not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And because of this, all of his affairs in his life will become corrupted and misguided and in disarray. And then in the end, he will not be excused for being ignorant with regards to the obligations that were upon him related to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Related to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says now that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon a Muslim. And this is again because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. This narration here is found in Ibn Majah and is authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the hadith of Anas. From the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu. So now the author, he says, فَإِنْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ فإن العلم كثير لا يدركه كل أحد فكيف يفرض على كل مسلم طلبه فكيف يفرض على كل مسلم طلبه. So if someone were to say, indeed the knowledge is a lot, not everyone is able to obtain it, so how could it be obligatory upon every Muslim to seek it? And he's asking a question maybe he has with regards to understanding this narration. Knowledge is a lot. The knowledge is vast. There's many different types of knowledge. There's many different types of knowledge. The knowledge that the people of knowledge, they say that ilm bahrun la sahila la, that it's a knowledge that the knowledge is an ocean that has no shore. It has no coastline. Yani it's an ocean, it's a sea with no coastline, no shore. Yani so if knowledge is this much and this vast in this manner, and not everyone is able to obtain it, no doubt about that, then how could it be obligatory upon every Muslim to seek after it? He says, قِيلَ لَهُ, it will be said to him. قِيلَ لَهُ الْعِلْمُ عَلَى وُجُوهٍ كَثِيرًا فَمِنْهُ عِلْمُ لَا يَسْعُ الْمُسْلِمُ عِلْمُ مَا فَمِنْهُ عِلْمُ مَا لَا يَسْعُ الْمُسْلِمَ جَهْلُهُ إِذَا كَانَ عَاقِلًا بَالِغًا عَلَى أَيِّ حَالٍ كَانْ وَفِي كُلِّ وَقْتْ. It will be said to him, knowledge is from many different aspects. From that is knowledge that which no Muslim is excused for being ignorant with regards to. Knowledge is many different aspects. Right now we're answering the question. Remember the question? If knowledge is so vast and not everyone is able to obtain all of it, then how could it be obligatory upon everyone to seek after it? This is the question. So he's answering now. The answer is that knowledge is understood from different aspects. So from that is knowledge that which no Muslim is excused for being ignorant with regards to. Knowledge has many different aspects. Some of those aspects, there is no excuse for any Muslim to be ignorant with regards to. If he was ignorant of it, he would not be excused. And whatever occurs to him because of it, of his ignorance of that particular knowledge, he will not be excused. He will not be excused. So it says, that is if he was of sound mind and the age of puberty, no matter what situation he may be in and at every time. And to clarify, this here is with regards to the one who has a sound mind and the age of puberty, the one who is mukallaf, and the one who is held accountable and responsible for his actions. Then this is the case with regards to him, that there is a type of knowledge with regards to every person who has a sound mind and has reached the age of puberty, that it's an obligation for him to know, and he's not excused if he was ignorant with regards to that. If he's ignorant with regards to that, regardless of his situation and regardless of the place and time. Regardless of the place and time. So now he clarifies what that is. He says, وَذَلِكَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ بِصِفَاتِهِ بِصِحَةِ تَوْحِيدِهِ وَإِخْلَاصِهِ فِيهِ وَمَعْرِفَةُ عَدُوِّهِ إِبْلِيسِ وَمَعْرِفَةُ نَفْسِهِ الْأَمَّارَةِ بِالسُّوءِ وَمَعْرِفَةُ طَهَارَتِهِ وَصَلَاتِهِ وَمَا بُنِيَ عَلَيْهِ الْإِسْلَامُ وَمَا بُنِيَ عَلَيْهِ الْإِسْلَامُ فَلَيْسَ يَسَعُ الْمُسْلِمَ أَنْ يَجْهَلَ ذَلِكَ. That means to have knowledge of Allah and His attributes, and what would be the means for correcting his tawheed, and being sincere in that. Knowing one's enemy, Iblis, knowing one's own self that commands evil, knowing the purification and the prayer, and that which al-Islam is based upon. It is not allowed for a Muslim to be ignorant with regards to this. It is not allowed for a Muslim to be ignorant with regards to this. Again, we see the understanding of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, that first and foremost, this knowledge that is obligatory and incumbent upon every Muslim who is of the age of puberty and has a sound mind, whether they're male or female, they have to know this knowledge, and they will not be excused. They will not be excused at any time or any place. And that is beginning with the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing Allah, ma'rifatullah, knowing Allah, His Lordship, and knowing Him by His beautiful names and attributes, knowing Him by His Lordship and by His actions, knowing Him by His rububiyyah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing Him by His beautiful names and attributes, so that a person, he will be able to sincerely worship Him truthfully, alone with no partners. So his tawheed will be correct by way of knowledge and by way of action. By way of knowledge and by way of action. Along with that, it's an obligation for him to know his enemy, to know Iblis and the traps and the tricks of Iblis, and to be aware of that, and to know him, and how he could lead a person away from the tawheed of Allah and from the obedience of Allah. And likewise, along with that, he must know his own soul that orders evil. This is from the obligations. A person, he has to know his own soul and how to deal with his own soul, how to treat his own soul, how to cure his own soul, how to protect his own soul from the whispers and the tricks and the traps of the devil, and from many different affairs happening in life. And if he ever tainted his soul with sin, how to rectify that? He has to learn these affairs. He has to learn these affairs. He has to know the purification, any of the tahara, how to purify his body. Had to purify his body. First, he began with the tawheed, purifying the heart. Now, likewise, purifying the body and the clothing and the garments and purifying the place. Likewise, he has to know how to pray, as salah. He has to know how to establish it properly in a manner correct. He says he has to know that which al-Islam is based upon, meaning the five pillars of al-Islam, shahadatan, wa salah, iqamat al-salah, wa ita'i zakat, wa sawm ramadan, wa hajj al-bayt. He has to know these affairs. He says here, فَلَيْسَ يَسَعُ الْمُسْلِمَ أَنْ يَجْهَرَ ذَلِكَ. It is not allowed. It is not allowed for a Muslim to be ignorant with regards to this. It's not allowed for a Muslim to be ignorant with regards to this. Imagine this affair. A Christian comes in, or somebody from our family members comes in, and they ask us about the pillars of al-Islam. We cannot respond. They ask us about the pillars of al-Islam. What's the shahadatan? I heard about this. What are the two testimonies of faith? You can't respond. You can't answer. What is the salah? You can't respond. You can't answer. What is the zakat? He stumbles and he can't respond. He can't answer. What is fasting? What is the pillar of fasting? What is the pillar of pilgrimage? He doesn't know. What does it mean to you believe in Allah? What does that mean? Al-Imanu Billah. What is that? You believe in angels? What is that? How do you believe in angels? We believe in angels too. Maybe the Christian's going to say, we believe in angels too. Oh, you believe in angels? So do we. Right? So do we. But they're going to say that one of the angels is the third of three. So their belief in angels is a false belief and a corrupt belief and a foul belief. So we could not allow them to understand that we believe in angels the way they do. So therefore, it's not proper for us to have ignorance, for us to be ignorant of these affairs. It's not allowed for us to be ignorant of the foundations of our religion. So the author, he says, فَإِذَا قَرُبَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ فَإِذَا قَرُبَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ عَرَفَ كَيْفَ يَسُومُ وَإِذَا وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَجُّ تَعَلَّمَ كَيْفَ يَحُجُّ وَإِذَا أَرَادَ جِهَادَ طَلَبَ عِلْمَ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَحْكَامِ الْجِهَادِ وَلَا يَسَعُهُ أَنْ يُجَاهِدَ بِجَهْلٍ. So if the month of Ramadan draws near, he will know how to fast. And if the obligation of the pilgrimage comes upon him, then he will learn how to make the pilgrimage. If he wants to fight in jihad, then he will seek knowledge of the rulings with regards to fighting in jihad. It is not allowed to fight in jihad upon ignorance. وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا تَجَرَى بِالْأَمْوَالِ. In the original text, there's a mistake here. حَمْزَة الْقَطَعِ. المفروض أن تكون حَمْزَة الْوَصَلِ. نعم. وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا تَجَرَى بِالْأَمْوَالِ وَهُوَ لَا يَعْلَمُ الْحَلَالَ مِنَ الْمَكَاسِبِ وَلَا الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ مِنْهَا وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ فَرُضًا طَلَبُ عِلْمِ ذَلِكَ. Likewise, if he is going to do business with wealth and he does not know that which is permissible from the means of livelihood and that which is impermissible, it is an obligation upon him to seek knowledge of this. To seek knowledge of this. He's going to get involved in business. He wants to open a restaurant. He wants to open a store. He wants to open a business. He wants to start trucking. Whatever the case may be, he wants to get involved in these affairs. And he does not know that which is permissible from that and that which is impermissible. It's incumbent. Faradun. Obligation. We discussed obligation, right? The meaning of obligation. It's an obligation for him to seek knowledge of that before advancing. Advancing. He says, وَهَكَذَا إِذَا أَرَادَ الدُّخُولَ فِي أَمْرٍ وَاجِبٍ عَلَيْهِ أَوْ مُبَاحٍ لَهُ لَمْ يَسَعْهُ الدُّخُولُ فِيهِ حَتَّى يَطْلُبَ عِلْمَ ذَلِكَ. And like this, if he intends to partake in an affair, if he intends to partake in an affair that is obligatory or even permissible for him, it is not befitting for him to embark upon that until he seeks knowledge of the issue. Anything he wants to do, halal, haram, mubah, anything he wants to get involved in, he needs to know the ruling of that and the limits of that and that which is allowed for him and that which is not allowed. Something could be mubah in the origin, and if a person, he is not careful, it can turn to haram for him. The cell phone, for example, is mubah, is a haram, is mubah. But if a person, he does not have fiqh in deen, it could be from the greatest means to lead him to destruction and lead him to misguidance and to deviation and to falsehood and to evil and to sin. But the origin is that it's permissible. So a person, if he's going to have a phone, he needs to learn the rulings with regards to that. يَتَفَقَّحُ فِي دِينِي فِيمَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِالْجَوَالِ. He has to have some understanding. And this is going to go back to understanding the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah, He can see you when you are with the people in the masjid. He can see you when you're alone with your phone. He can hear you. He can see you. He knows what you're typing. He knows who you're texting with. All of this is not hidden to Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who has fiqh in the deen, now he will know how to use the phone, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. So this is something that's very important, regardless whether it's halal or whether it's something that is mubah. Before he gets engaged in that, he must learn the details of that in order to perform it properly and to be safe from misguidance. So now he says, getting to the point, فَصَارَ وَاجِبًا عَلَيْهِ طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ بِهَذِ النَّعْتِ وَبِهَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ وَمَا يُشْبِهُهَا مِنْ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Now seeking knowledge becomes an obligation upon him in this manner and in this description, and that which is like this from the affairs of the worldly life as well as the hereafter. We understand the answer now? So now from here we see طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. So it's not an obligation upon every Muslim to learn how to do the trucking business. But if a person is going to get involved in the trucking business, he has to learn the knowledge of that. It's not incumbent for every Muslim to learn how to run a restaurant. But if he's going to get involved in a restaurant and he start doing business in this affair, now it becomes obligatory for him to learn. As for the issues of creed and the fundamentals of the deen, then everyone who is of a sound mind and the age of puberty, whether they're male or female, they have to learn those affairs and they're not excused. They have to learn those affairs, and they're not excused. If a person, he was going after that to do some business or to get married, for example, and he did not learn the rulings of that, he will be held accountable. He's considered sinning for not learning the rites of marriage and the proper manner to get married and the proper manner to conduct one's marriage and to live a marital life. And to live a marital life, there's limits and there's laws that are set in here. And from the great benefit of learning this knowledge is that in learning the knowledge and applying it for the sake of Allah, one, he will find eternal bliss. He will find sa'ada, as-sa'ada, al-hayat al-tayyibah, happiness and joy. He will find felicity and a good life by knowing the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal and applying them, hoping for his reward and seeking his pleasure. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we understand this part now. If somebody says, it's so much knowledge, there's no way everyone could even reach all of it. So how could it be an obligation for everyone to seek it? The answer is here. The answer is here. We understand. First and foremost, there's that foundation of knowledge with regards to the creed and the deen and the daily obligations upon every Muslim that they're not excused with regards to. They have to learn this affair. And then after that, through one's life, everything he's going to be involved in, he has to learn the knowledge of that, the limits with regards to that. And this is also from the beauty about Islam, and from the perfection of the deen, that there's nothing in this life. There's nothing in this life except there's a legislative ruling. Revelation has been revealed. And the Lord of the worlds, the Most Kind, Al-Kareem subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has sent guidance on how to perform that property. He has sent guidance on how to perform that property. Al-Islam is perfect and complete. Everything in life from before the birth of a human being until before he's even in the loins of his father. When he's in the loins of his father, until he comes out, until he's a fetus, until he has a baby, until he's a child, until he's a man, until he's a woman, until he's dead. After his death, he has rights given to him by the Lord of the worlds and guidance that must be upheld. And if not, if it's violated, there will be a day when people will be taken to account. And there's a test with regards to this. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So therefore, we see the knowledge is of utmost importance. Rather, if Allah, he wants good for someone, he will bestow upon him a good understanding of his deen, of his deen. So the author, he says, now, rahimahullah, فَلَا يَنْفَقُ الْمُسْلِمُ أَبَدًا مِنْ طَلَبِهِ لِلْعِلْمِ لِيَنْتَفِيَ عَنْهُ الْجَهْلُ بِمَا أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ فَرْضِ عِبَادَتِهِ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَفِي أَهْلِهِ وَفِي وَلَدِهِ وَفِي جَمِيعِ سَعْيِهِ فَرْضًا لَازِمًا. Therefore, the Muslim is never disassociated from seeking knowledge in order to remove the ignorance of that which Allah has made obligatory upon him, and performing his own actions of worship, and the rights of his family and children, and all the affairs that he is involved in. This is a certain obligation. فَرْضُ النَّازِمَةِ. This is a certain obligation. Now he says, rahimahullah, يَسْعَى إِلَى الْعُلَمَاءِ بِإِتْعَابِ نَفْسِهِ وَإِنْفَاقِ مَالِهِ وَتَغَرُّبِهِ and وطنه إذا كان لا يأخذ العلم إلا بذلك. He will hasten to the people of knowledge and tire himself out and spend his wealth. He will leave his homeland traveling if he's not able to learn except in this manner. This is how precious the knowledge is to a true Muslim. What would he do? He will hasten to the people of knowledge. Yes, he will hasten to the people of knowledge. Be it abi nafsi, he'll wear himself out, he will tire himself out, his knees will hurt, his back will hurt, sitting in the gatherings and the likes like this, going through great efforts. And maybe he understands, maybe he doesn't understand that the class is heavy this time. This new knowledge he never heard before. Studying the issues of zakat became very heavy, much details for the first time, and the likes like this, or the chapter of buyu, so on and so forth. And he becomes heavy, he becomes tired, he wears himself out, and likewise, be in faqi madihi, and he spends his money to learn, and he will leave his homeland. He will leave his homeland. He will leave his family. He will leave his people, and he will travel and leave his town, leave his city. He will leave his country. Some of them, they'll travel over the seas, over the water for hours in order to learn a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It says that they will do this if he's not able to learn except in this manner. He says, فَإِنْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ. Now, if someone were to say, فَمَا الْعِلْمُ الَّذِي يُعْذَرُ الْإِنسَانُ بِجَهْلِهِ. So now we understand the knowledge that one is not excused, right? The knowledge that's obligatory upon everybody. So he says, now, if someone were to say, what is the knowledge that a person is not excused to be ignorant with regards to? Uh-huh. فما العلم الذي يعذر الإنسان بجهله. What is the what is the knowledge that a person is excused? عفواً أحسنت جزاك الله خيرا. One harf changes everything. جزاك الله خيرا. We read it again. أحسنت. فإن قال قائل فما العلم الذي يعذر الإنسان بجهله. So if someone were to say, what is the knowledge that a person is excused to be ignorant with regards to? He is excused. And he, because previously we discussed the knowledge, he's not excused. You need the obligatory knowledge. Ahsanta, ahsanta, jazakallahu khayra. Jazakallahu khayra. So what is the knowledge that a person is excused to be ignorant with regards to? And he, meaning that it's not an obligation upon him. It's not an obligation upon him. If he didn't know it, he's excused. He says, it would be said to him, هذا الكلام فيه جفاء لأن العاقل لا يستحسن لنفسه أن يكون جاهلا بعلم يزيده شرفا عند الله عز وجل وعند من عقل. He says, it would be said to him, the speech here is futile, because a sound-minded person will not be pleased for himself that he will be ignorant of knowledge that would increase him in nobility and status with Allah and with anyone who has a sound mind. يعني meaning that a person, he shouldn't think like this. And any the knowledge, first and foremost, the more knowledge a person has, the more noble he will become. Knowledge brings nobility. The more knowledgeable one is, the more beloved he is with Allah Azza wa Jal. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا عَلِمَ دَرَجَاتِ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Many evidences clarifying that those who have more knowledge are more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. Any of the beneficial and correct and proper knowledge. So therefore, to ask which one you don't have to know, any of this is not really proper in this manner like this. He's trying to clarify. So he says to clarify about this issue of knowledge in this question, رحمه ta'ala, وَلَكِنَّهُ مَشْغُورٌ بِالْوَاجِبِ كَيْفَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي مَا أَلْزَمَهُ ثُمَّ يَزْدَادُ فِي طَالِبِ كُلِّ عِلْمٍ يَنْفَعَ. He says, but he will preoccupy himself with the obligatory, meaning seeking after the obligatory knowledge, how to worship Allah and what he has made obligatory upon him. Then after that, he would increase in seeking knowledge of that which is beneficial, of that which is beneficial, and he, in accordance. So he says, أما إذا ثقل عليه طلب العلم الواجب أما إذا ثقل عليه طلب العلم الواجب وسهل عليه طلب غيره كأخبار بني إسرائيل وقصص الأنبياء وأخبار الخلفاء قيل له حينئذ. As for if seeking the obligatory knowledge becomes heavy and it is easy for him to seek knowledge other than that, like the narrations of the children of Israel and the stories of the prophets and the stories of the khulafa, it will be said to him at this time. It will be said to him at this time. As for the person who finds it heavy to seek that obligatory knowledge, yet it's easy for him to seek the knowledge that's not obligatory, like these stories, stories of the prophets, stories of the previous nations, stories of the khulafa and the biographies of the salaf. It's easy for him to seek this knowledge, but hard for him to seek the knowledge that's obligatory. He says, هذه غفلة. هذه غفلة. لأنك إذا جهلت ما يجب عليك علمه والعمل به لم تعذر بجهلك وكنت عاصيا لله عز وجل بجهلك ما يجب عليك. This is heedlessness. Because if you are ignorant of that which is obligatory for you to know and to apply, you will not be excused for your ignorance. And you will be considered disobeying Allah by remaining ignorant of that which is obligatory upon you. You understand this? Now this person, this is heedlessness. That it's hard for him to learn the obligatory knowledge, but easy for him to learn the non-obligatory knowledge. This is heedlessness. Why? Because if he's ignorant of that which is obligatory upon him, in order to know and to perform the obligations of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that which will draw him near to Allah, if he's ignorant of that, he's not going to be excused. He's not going to be excused. And if he learns this other knowledge that's not obligatory, he will be excused. So how could he leave off the knowledge that's obligatory for him and seek the knowledge that's not obligatory? How could he leave off learning the obligations that are upon him and the means for the safety and the savior and sanctity of his own soul and learn and spend his time learning and seeking the knowledge of something that's not even obligatory? This is heedlessness. This is from the tricks and the traps of the devil for the student of knowledge. This is from the tricks and the traps of the devil for the student of knowledge. This point here is a very important point. He says, وَإِذَا أَلْزَمْتَ نَفْسَكَ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ اللَّازِمِ الْوَاجِبِ عَلَى كُلِّ أَحْيَانِكَ لَمْ تَأْمَنْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَنْ تَرِيدَ عَلَيْكَ أُمُورٌ لم يتقدم العلم بها مثل النكاح والطلاق والخصومات التي تجري بين الناس في الحقوق. And if you oblige yourself to seek the obligatory incumbent knowledge upon you at every time, even then, still you will not be safe after that from issues coming to you that you did not yet learn about, like marriage, divorce, and disputes that occur between the people with regards to their rights. So even if a person, he were to dedicate himself properly and seek the knowledge that is obligatory upon him first, and to learn that for the sake of Allah, even then after that, throughout his life, he's not sure or safe from affairs occurring to him and situations and circumstances happening to him that he did not yet learn about. So he's still going to be in need to learn even more knowledge later, after learning the foundations and the obligations. For example, if he wants to get married, or if he wants to get divorced, or somebody in his family and the likes like this, or if there's disputes between rights with him or with others that he's involved with, he has to learn how to learn these affairs. So if he didn't learn the obligations yet, and then he gets involved in these affairs, now he's really going to be lost. So he says, فَهَذَا وَأَشْبَاهُهُ تُعْذَرُ بِجَهْلِهِ قَبْلَ وُرُودِهِ فِذَا أُورِدَ عَلَيْكَ لَمْ تُعْذَرْ بِجَهْلِهِ. So this and that which is similar, you are excused for ignorance of these affairs with regards to before they occur. But if they occur now, you will not be excused because of ignorance. You understand? Those affairs that are not obligatory necessarily at all times, but could become obligatory if they occur. It's not an obligation for him to seek that knowledge. So long as it didn't occur to him, or he did not get involved in those affairs. But if he gets involved in those affairs, or these situations come up in his life, now he has to seek the knowledge of that. So this will preoccupy him now at that time. So this is the knowledge that's not necessarily obligatory, but could become obligatory. So therefore, he has to begin with a knowledge that is obligatory and establish that property, because maybe later in life, other obligations are going to come up that he's going to have to learn about likewise. So from here we see again, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. That seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim, wherever he's at, in whatever time he is in, whatever circumstance and situation he may be. He says, فليس ينفق المؤمن العاقل أبدا عن طالب العلم ما كان في الدنيا. So therefore, the intelligent believer, he's never disassociated from seeking knowledge so long as he remains in this life. وما كان مراده طالب العلم الذي لا يسعه جهله وحسنت فيه نيته لم يلبث أن يوفقه الله عز وجل لطالب علم ما قد يحتاجه قبل وروده. And the one whom his intention is to seek knowledge of that which he has no excuse to be ignorant from, and his intention is good and pure, then it will not be long except that Allah will grant him success to seek the knowledge of that which he may need in the future, if it occurs to him out of fear that he may be tried by it. This is the first chapter of Mukhtasar Fard Talib al-Ilm. And this is the brief reading and explanation. Anyone have any comments or corrections or questions with regards to that which has preceded? Ahsanta. Jazakallah khaira. What you got? He got that one too. Ahsanta. What's one? How would you? Maybe he got that one also. Where's it at? On this page. Yes, he got it. The dot. Yeah, the hat on the computer is right next to the gym. So, jazakallah khaira. The one that we had yesterday was worse than this one. So you can throw that one away. Inshallah, we're going to correct them all. And we begin, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, tomorrow with a detailed discussion with regards to some of these benefits. Bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.